I'm going to call to order the Kituit Fire District Policy Advisory Committee, which is being held at Freedom Hall on March 7th, 2018 at 5:30 p.m. If I could please ask everybody to identify themselves. Lisa Mycock, Prudential.
Cynthia Gardner, resident.
Amy Cates, resident.
Adam Zace, Fire Commissioner.
Tom Hoppenstead, Water Commissioner. Sitting in for Vic Mastro.
Okay. Tonight's Policy Advisory Committee meeting is held pursuant to Section 9 of Article 11 of the Kituit Fire District bylaws. The bylaws call for the representative from the Prudential Committee to serve as chairperson for purposes of initiating the first meeting. I'd like to know if there's anybody who'd like to nominate anybody for chair.
Oh, go ahead, Ann. Go ahead.
I think you were halfway.
Okay. I'm Amy Cates, a member of the public, and I would like to nominate Cindy Gardner to be chairman.
Is there a second?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now we have to elect a clerk. Is there any volunteers?
We are recording, so there will hopefully be a transcription.
Okay, so does everybody feel comfortable using that?
I'm happy to be clerk.
Okay, just in case. Okay, so I make a motion that Lisa Mycock be clerk.
I would make a motion that Lisa Mycock be clerk of the policy committee.
Second.
All those in favor?
Good.
Aye. So moved.
I have a question. Just a technical. So what I do is people send me the recordings and I process them for posting. Is this committee going to be posting these on the website, on our website?
I believe so.
Okay.
And Chris Collins will transfer.
Okay. So she'll send me. Someone will have to send me the file. It's done usually through Dropbox.
Yes. I'm going to Dropbox the recording to her, and she's going to transcribe it. So we'll have them.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is to discuss policies. Does anybody have any policies that they would like to add to the agenda of the committee? Adam?
Is there a pre-existing set of policies? I mean, we have things like sexual harassment, presumably.
Last year's committee worked on job descriptions.
Okay.
And the water rate survey. So going into this year, there's nothing on the table to be followed through on. All the committees, I know the water department has been working on their job descriptions, and I'm hoping the fire department has got theirs in order, and then the prudential committee was supposed to get one for the treasurer and the whatever the new position is.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a water survey that's happening?
There's a water rate survey.
That you guys are doing?
I would assume that's been awarded, but I haven't talked to Chris to know that.
Yeah. They had their bid meeting two weeks ago.
Yeah. So we had the RFP, and we received bids, and we selected a contractor.
So is it a survey, like questions and answers, or is it like you go around and measure stuff?
It's a survey looking at the waterworks system and the waterworks delivery, cost of delivery. It's
okay, so the
detailed
survey
of the water department's programs.
Okay, all right. So it's not like a suggestion box or something from the. Okay. Led me in the wrong direction.
No, yeah. Survey.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
I have Amy Cates. I have a suggestion. My I'm not sure that that we did due diligence with coming up with a family medical leave policy. I haven't seen it. My sense is it was cut and pasted from other entities. I don't know how much it was studied. I don't know if it makes sense for this committee to take a look at it. To tell you the truth, I'm not really sure where we stand on it. What happened is we had people applying for family medical leave before we ever had a policy, and then it seemed like that we came up with a policy. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure.
I actually don't think it was ever adopted by the village because it was never brought to the village.
I don't know, but I think that is outside the scope of the policy advisory.
Oh, no, that's what the policy advisory supposed to do.
In fact,
we don't make policy. We bring suggestions back
right.
to the committee.
And we study issues. So this is a committee that says, because we have a member from each sitting board, so that it is, in fact, an inclusive committee. And then there's two members, interested members from the public. So when I served on Prudential and I was the policy advisory committee liaison, then during my tenure, we looked at rehabbing Freedom Hall. So we had a bunch of things. We had mold and water damage at Freedom Hall at the time, so that the policy advisory committee got contractors, got water restoration people, so we got a bunch of people in to give us some feedback so that the policy advisory committee could give feedback to Prudential, and then Prudential could figure out how to go forward in terms of curbing the damage to Freedom Hall and closing. There were a lot of issues, water issues, with Freedom Hall. We had bad windows, we had bad doors, we had standing water, we had mold, and so the committee that I chaired, we pretty much spent 6 to 9 months looking at Freedom Hall issues. And so I think that the purview of the policy advisory committee could be a resource committee for any issues of interest in the district, and then to make recommendations back to Prudential. And probably because of my history in terms of serving on Prudential and chairing the policy advisory committee, I always thought that it would make sense, to meet quarterly, or at least in the first quarter of the fiscal year, to actually have this committee meet so that we could see if there are any outstanding issues that the committee could work on, and then it would give them, 6 to 9 months to work on. So that's what I wanted to say.
So when you were involved with it and you were working on Freedom Hall issues, it was more practical, structural issues rather than policy issues, would you say? Because I would envision the policy committee looking at policies, like, okay, we need a policy to maintain Freedom Hall.
It's supposed to be, that's what I mean, a policy to maintain Freedom Hall. It was supposed to be those types of things. The problem was one of the agencies within the district had gone to the town and actually had Freedom Hall condemned. So that's why the policy advisory.
Yeah, one of the committees did that.
So they kind of had to or have problems with it in the future.
Right. And exactly. So it was, what level of commitment should and does this district have in terms of maintaining Freedom Hall?
Structures.
Okay. Exactly.
That the district is responsible.
That's right. That's right. Since the district owns Freedom Hall, what is, do you want to upgrade the bathrooms? Do you want to get handicapped? We looked at getting handicapped access to the stage. So we looked at getting like kind of an elevator. We looked at upgrading the bathrooms and making one of those handicapped bathrooms instead of this room right there. See that closet right there? We investigated what it would cost to actually turn that into a handicapped accessible bathroom so that when someone in a wheelchair came in the front door, they could actually use that bathroom because they have no way of getting to these bathrooms. $30,000. was 30 grand. And so the question was, what is the village's commitment to having a handicapped bathroom in Freedom Hall?
Compliant with the American Disabilities Act.
Right. And once we made changes, we were going to have to bring the whole building up to code.
Right.
So it was fraught with some politics, some structural stuff. Mm-hmm. Another policy advisory committee years ago looked at, looked at health insurance and...
So that is the purview of this committee.
Right.
I think we need to put out some different topics. Family medical leave might be one that we want to discuss. I think before we even discuss family medical, I think it would be wise for us to discuss and maybe go back to the different committees, the fire, the water. I think the village in a whole should have a sick leave policy so that all employees understand what the sick leave policy is.
So you're talking about...
Because you can't have a family medical leave until you have a sick leave policy.
So evaluating the employee handbook.
Exactly.
Which
we
have.
The water department might...
The fire department has mostly that covered by a contract.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is my understanding is sick leave for firefighters is something that's in the firefighters contract. If I'm mistaken, I'd like to know it.
That's right.
There are certainly other people that work like Chris Dolly.
Right.
The chief is not governed by the contract, so there's
all those employees and how do we handle their sick leave? Because they're all district employees, should be a general policy.
But we can't have it. What I'm hearing is we can't have a general policy because if the firefighters aren't covered under the contract.
Well, I do see Cindy's point, which is that there could be a policy
for non-union
people.
Right.
So,
right. I'll write that down. Sick leave for non-union.
There's probably it would be a good thing. Rather than us spend cycles as to look at the handbooks that already exist, should they,
right.
if they exist.
Well, that's what you do. You decide that's what you want to do. So the next meeting, you bring that material forward, and we look to make sure that there's information is adequate and doesn't have any loopholes. And then we discuss, well, the fire department will look at the water and say, oh, that's a good suggestion. Maybe we should put that into ours. And the water looks at, it's sort of bringing them all together.
And then this committee would make a recommendation to the water commissioners to change this policy or
exactly.
that policy
and
so that
the,
there was consistency or whatever.
Exactly.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And the reason that there's a member of each of the three committees is the policy advisory committee and bylaws does it the same thing in terms of, membership by each committee. But it's so that each board brings their issues or things they've always wanted to discuss with the rest of the leadership in the town of things that are happening.
So we have a pretty large policy issue at the water department through the water commission that we do not at this point have an assistant superintendent. So
right.
it's a position thing. So the policy
right.
our policy has that position, but that position is not filled.
So maybe we could look at seeing if it was adadequate to have that position,
or
does it need to be?
Other.
Clearly,
no.
How long has it been since there has been?
We've never had one. No, there was.
There used to be one.
Yeah.
Really?
No, if we lose our superintendent, we're like.
Okay, so Chris has been 15 years, I think. Was he saying that recently? It was 15 years. So 15 years ago, that would have been Lenny. Lenny would have been. Was Lenny superintendent then?
I think so.
So I don't know.
I think it was before that. I think Lenny was the last assistant
superintendent.
Right.
I think Lenny was the last assistant one. But that's something to look at.
Yeah.
Right.
Another one I would like to see is actually setting down a bylaw to go forth to the bylaw committee from this committee. That these meetings are held within a certain time frame because the people at large, members of the village, are appointed in May. And the members of the committees are supposed to be appointed their first meeting of the fiscal year, waiting till March to hold a meeting. I mean, I'm not being critical.
The bylaws say one meeting, at least one meeting shall be.
Right, but how do you...
It doesn't say annually, and it's my understanding past practice is good to have any one.
But that's not, see, that's the problem. That's not past practice.
That
that's
isn't.
The,
when I was chairman...
Last 2 years, that's past practice.
Right.
But
when I was chairman, we met every month.
Yeah, it used to be every
we
month.
We met every month. And but it was
on so many committees.
No. But it, maybe not every month. But we met a bunch of times because I had to recreate the minutes at one point because we didn't record the meetings and I was the chairman, so I was taking notes. So I had to recreate the minutes at one point. And I'm telling you, I think I did nine, ten meetings. And I think it was either it might have been 2 years ago. It wasn't this past May. So it might have been two or three annual meetings ago that there was an attempt to put an amendment on the floor that said that the Policy Advisory Committee would meet within the first quarter of the year. And if there was nothing really to discuss, then they could determine about not meeting. But this would be an opportunity to look at issues and find out what time commitment it would take in order to resolve, study, discuss, and present the issues. And believe it or not, it got voted down. It didn't make any sense to me, but it got voted down.
So it's something that needs to be looked at, because what's the sense of having a policy advisory committee if you're only going to meet in March? You're not really going to have any time to study anything, make any recommendations before May.
Well, came up with 10 recommendations.
But we met early.
You only met twice, though,
right? We met three times.
Regardless.
But, yeah. And
I mean, is it
that was done by...
Is yeah, it, no, I'm
yes.
Just,
yes.
I have no
yeah,
idea.
Yeah. That was what was passed out, or that was what was reviewed by the potential presented by the policy that was looking at some things that they discussed.
Yeah. So at least, you know, we met earlier than, but that's here now. We're here now, so we just need to discuss some things. I mean, like I said, we don't have much time, but I do think there's some things that need to be discussed. There are some issues going on within the district.
Well, we should hear them. I mean, I think it seems to me like a committee like this could be self-calibrating. I mean, if we feel we need more meetings, the bylaws say that we have to do something, so we have to meet the standard at least. We've ticked the box, we've had one meeting. And I do understand that everyone's busy and everyone has lives, and so we try to walk that delicate balance. But if there were, these are the, were
those
these?
Are last year.
Those were last year.
Those were recommendations.
Some of last year's recommendations.
And if are these things that are, are these still open? These recommendations?
Some of them, I think, if you look down on some of them, have been staff reviews. And one of them was the job descriptions, things like that.
Another one was water rate study.
Water rate survey. So
right.
We got that in work.
Right.
Job descriptions.
So that was something that was talked about.
High streets being worked on, right?
Yeah.
Should we somehow discuss whether these have been done? I mean, so for example, to whom did we make this recommendation? To whom do we make these recommendations? Determine that transcriptions of meetings are satisfactory instead of minutes. I'm assuming someone said, yeah, okay, because we're all doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We can certainly go down that list, but clearly there's other things that need to be addressed this year as well. I just kind of brought that as an example to share.
No, this is
my
very helpful.
So.
Okay.
So those are the things we came up with at the first meeting last year, and then we ranked them in what we thought were our priorities throughout the different meetings, and we badgered back and forth. And then.
So you make motions to get your.
Yeah, we ask for suggestions, and then we decide what we want to work on, right?
Okay. Well, let's do a little experiment. So, Amy, you brought up the Family Medical Leave Act.
Right.
And so my question is, and this is, I'm taking off my hat as fire. I do wish I had a hat to take off, but I don't.
A fire hat?
A real fire hat. That would be pretty cool. But I do not pretend I'm a firefighter. The Family Medical Leave Act is a law. I mean, so I don't understand what we would do as a policy advisory committee to, I know, to, we could make a policy, what, comply
well,
the with
law
the law
is a law, but in the law it states the different policies that the
employer could change.
Not change, adapt.
Adapt.
Well, so for example.
And that's why I wanted to do the sick leave, because first of all, you have to decide what is sick leave for. Is sick leave for anything the employee decides is sick leave? Is sick leave only for the employee? Is a sick leave, like, I can talk because my husband used to be a member of the Centerville Hospital Marston's Mills Fire Department before he retired. And he got his 15 sick days a year. Out of the 15 in the contract, two of them were clearly for whatever purposes they wanted to use. So if they had a sick kid or a wife that was in the hospital and needed to be driven to the hospital, they could use those 2 days out of their 15 for anything they wanted. But the 13 of them only could be for their own personal use. Does that make sense?
And that's
just the definition that a village has to adapt. Because like they use that for their water department employees. That's something they've adapted. We as a village don't have a definition of what a sick day is. Are all 15 can be used that way?
Right.
Can three be used?
So I'm confused. I think you guys are not a union shop. So I don't understand what a policy would mean to Jim relative to his sick days. If his sick days are given to him by the contract and spelled out like that, what policy would we do that would inform that situation for him?
Well, that's because that they used it for all their employees. So it wasn't just the union employees. So they have.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's a policy for the whole.
No, I granted that we don't have we have in the job description of Chris's job, you know, something, but we don't have an overarching policy.
It just says she has 15 sick days or 10 sick days or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't say
but there is
what those sick days are for. Are they just for her or are they for other things?
So that you could manage abuse. So the idea would be how do you report, observe, discipline for, and manage any abuse of sick leave if it happens. Well, it relates directly to family medical leave, so that the law doesn't state that the employee can take sick leave. It says that
there's a test for it. You have to.
No,
it's
unpaid.
Doctors.
It's family
unpaid.
Medical leave. It's unlike, but
yeah.
If you want it.
The Family Medical Leave Act is about protecting one's ability to
come back
and not lose their job
if we had a policy that said they could use their 15 days for anybody,
right.
They could get paid 15 days of their family sick leave. Okay. That's why I'm bringing that up.
As long as we're talking about policies that I think are outside of the scope of the union contract, and the firefighters, as far as I know, are the only union, people covered by a contract like that.
And this way, if the employee is allowed to use their sick leave as part of family medical leave, then they don't really have any skin in the game. See, if they're unpaid and then they could choose to use their vacation, then they have skin in the game. They're using their benefits. But if they're using the 15 days of sick leave that they can't use for that purpose, and we allow those days to be used for the family medical leave purpose, they don't have any skin in the game. That's something they think they're not going to use. And then we let them use their 15 days of sick leave. They don't have any skin in the game. That 15 days of sick leave is a Benny. It's a Benny that they're not sure that they will, in fact, be able to use if they can only use two of the 15. We use Cindy's example. If they can only use two of the 15, now we've opened the door so that they can use the other 13 and get paid. And they are not, in fact, sick. It might be a family member that is sick. So we want to offer family medical leave, but we don't want it to be so broad that the employees in the district that are using it don't have any skin in the game.
Before you hold that thought, if you can, Tom, sorry, what do you mean by skin in the game? I don't understand that.
That it touches their benefits, so that if they go from unpaid to vacation, then they now know they've used up their vacation, so they no longer have vacation, right? But if they can use up all their sick leave and before they have to use vacation.
Okay, I think I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear a general concern that without a policy, there's a feeling that people might abuse things like vacation time. In my life, in my experience, people take 15 days of vacation. I've worked in the high-tech industry. We've never, ever counted sick days. This is the first experience I've ever had of someone going, okay, we actually have sick days.
It's a creature on it. We've had this conversation before, because I come from the other world, too, but I also have a member and a family in the other world, and it's in my mind, it's crazy. And we used to have very heated discussions.
I also come from the perspective that mostly people, when they're sick, are sick. I do understand that people need to take care of something. In the public sector,
I mean, you look at the news, it happens all the time. It's not just here. I mean, just in Quincy, there was a big thing on Channel 5 News that somebody was out of work for a year and a half and was given sick days that he never even had. I mean, it's not alone. Right. It's just part of that public sector.
And we had a firefighter call in sick from, what's the gambling place?
Well, remember, the abuses by people who are governed by union, I just think is a tough thing to deal with. But I don't think it's part of what we should be talking about.
No, we can't talk, because
so what were you going to say? Did you remember?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what the policy committee's role would be in evaluating a sick leave policy for the district. To me, you have a sick leave policy, and you give, if you want to use your example, 15 days of sick leave, and if somebody's sick, they use their sick leave, whether they have a broken finger or the flu or whatever. And, you know.
But the problem is, we already had a situation in this village where someone used it not for themselves, but for a family member.
So they went to take care of a family member that was sick.
Right, and that's okay if we want to do that as a village, but it's never been discussed or talked about, and there needs to be a policy.
I think that's okay.
And it's being utilized as part of an informal family medical leave policy.
I think it's just something that needs to be clarified.
Right.
You know, because you got to realize.
So there might be family sick time, and there might be personal sick time.
Right. It should be specified.
Is anyone going to volunteer to draft something as a first?
Well, first of all, we got to decide if that's something we want to work on. You know, like what we did with the.
If that's something you want to work on, I think we should work on it. I don't see why we would deny any one person on this committee,
right,
you know, who feels really strongly about something. I mean, you know,
right,
it would seem to me like if you do feel really strongly about it, write the first draft of a policy.
Well, I don't even think we need to
write a policy right now.
I think we need to find out what.
What the policy is.
What the policy is now. I'm pretty sure we don't have one.
Or write a brief about here's what we ought to do. Here are the steps we should find out.
Like we know what Center Blossom and Marston's Mills has. Yeah. What does Hyannis have? What does the areas around us
and
have?
What is Kituit operating under right now?
Yeah.
Is there a policy in the Kituit Fire Department that is addressing family medical leave? Is there a policy that you're aware of and that the fire commissioners have seen?
We've talked about this as it relates to firefighters, but we've not talked about it as it relates to the people who are not governed by that union contract.
But is there a policy that affects firefighters even though it's not mentioned in their contract? So I'm not aware that family medical leave was negotiated in their contract.
Well, there doesn't have to be a policy.
No, there doesn't. It's not even something.
The only policy needs to be about how you take your sick days.
how you take your sick leave.
Which is not family medical leave.
What?
Which is not family medical leave.
Well, yes. Family medical leave has a portion in the thing to protect towns so that if an employee wants to take family medical leave, they're allowed to take family medical leave. But prior, a town or an agency, prior to giving that person family medical leave unpaid, makes them use up their vacation time first. Because that way, you're not, because you have to cover these people. So it can get costly. So if you have someone go out for the whole extended time, you're having to bring someone in to do their job. And then they come back, and then you have to do it for their vacation. So a lot of towns, when you take family medical leave, so they make you use up your vacation first.
So it's leave, not just family medical leave, not just sick leave. It's, you're talking about leave policies.
It's family.
Well, it's called family
medical leave. Vacation, sick time, everything.
Well, it depends on what you want to use.
No.
Because you just said if somebody takes vacation.
Oh, no. You have to have the qualifications for family medical leave.
Yeah, no, there's a...
Yeah, it's very written out.
You have to bring in a doctor's note, basically, as well. You have to corroborate that your story about, hey, I'm going with paid or unpaid, consuming things that are in your bank of whatever. It's you can't just sort of say it, and you have to defend it. And it's
but that's another thing we need a policy for, because we do know that in the past, when it was used, it wasn't followed. Like, before you go out on family medical leave, it needs to be, put in writing that you're on family medical leave. That wasn't done. You need a doctor's note before you go out your first day. That wasn't done. So we probably do need a policy that states if an employee comes to a manager and wants to take family medical leave, there's a piece of paper that they can pull out and say, okay, step one, do we have a certified doctor's note? Step two.
Check. Pretty much step four of the family medical leave, the timing and things like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know the
but we need to make sure our management knows how to do that. Right. So it would be nice if they had a...
Could be in the employee handbook.
Exactly.
And is there... Does the district require that vacation is taken first?
Right. Are we going to say it's all family medical leave is unpaid?
Right. Are we going to say
because that's our choice as a district, or right. Are we going to allow family medical leave to be paid? And if so, what can they use to
so probably paid? The first thing to look at would be is what is our current Family Medical Leave Act policy?
Right.
What do we have? What's written
in the employee handbook?
What's written anywhere? To see if there's anything there and determine if there's any gaps and try to come up with policy recommendations to fill any gaps that you might identify.
And it's always better to plan before these things happen than...
The knee-jerk reactions?
Yeah, knee-jerk reactions that we're so famous
for. Or to grant it prior to having a policy and reviewing the policy and...
Well, you have to grant it, right? I mean, if somebody comes to you,
but
you grant it only
after you have a doctor's note.
Right, but that's the law.
So I hear a couple of things that not FMLA, but a sick time or the policy for non-union town, towns like village employees seems like a good idea.
And also, I'll be honest with you, if you read the section in the union contract, it doesn't clarify what a sick day is.
And it sounds like there's another, and now I'll put my hat back on. I think I hear that it would probably behoove me to go back to my board and say, look, Paul, the chief, and I have talked about this, and I know we've talked about this, he's talked about it with the other guys. This is something that I have asked him to essentially create a policy for. I also asked them create a policy for how are we going to track and do the accounting on things. Fire things, but so it's okay for this committee to say at a meeting like this something needs to happen and you can go back and act on it. And I don't know if we need necessarily a great big study for you to say, Adam, go back, create a policy. Our advice is create a policy that you would then handle on your board about FMLA,
right?
Create something so everyone understands there's a mechanism for that. So it's two things. One is a piece of advice to me, for example, in this case, as the fire commissioner, to do something relative to this policy as it relates to the firefighters. And then not as the fire commissioner. It sounds like the five of us are discussing and maybe probably coming to some sort of agreement that maybe a sick leave policy for non-union employees is a good thing.
Right, because it should be something looked at before it happens, because we all know things happen.
And should it be district-wide and not department-specific? That's the other question. So if the...
Oh, I think it should be district-wide.
Yeah, I think it should be district-wide, too. And I... So that's why we look at it, because right now the fire commissioner has asked their chief to come up with a policy for the fire department, and then what does
the water department do?
Right. I mean,
their employees, what does water do?
At everybody's meetings, there's probably some input that leads to these kinds of initiatives happening,
right?
Independent of this meeting, so. There's nothing wrong to bring it up again and just restate it. What I was trying to say is that if we're going to, as a committee, sort of say that something needs to be done, then it seems like someone should take the lead on at least coming up with a project brief. Here's the information that we need that we don't have. Here's the information that we have. Then how would we go about connect so that the next time we meet, we can have some meat to talk about.
Right, because I don't think the Prudential Committee has any policies for their employees. I'm not aware. Like as I said, I'm not. Right.
Right. So.
So that was something we still. Yeah.
One of the things that.
And we have now. They have two. They have the treasurer. They have the janitor. And you have the new person you're hiring. So you have three employees that have no guidelines. God forbid something should happen, and they need to take family medical leave. The water department. Are you aware of anything?
I would imagine there's something in the employee handbook, but. I'm not an employee, so I haven't read that thing yet. But
and
that would be the place I would look, Right. And I'd see what was there.
It was discussed briefly this fall at a water commissioner's meeting.
We discussed the
yes.
Family Medical Leave Act?
Only because it was happening.
The employee handbook and whether or not it meets
right.
the acts, the various laws that
exactly.
are out there. And we sent it to a lawyer.
Yeah.
I think Mark drove, take a look right. at it, and said, yeah, you guys are okay. And I think that was the extent of it. So
right.
I don't know, does it have continuity with the other departments, the other employees?
So I think, if we come back and have another meeting, maybe that's something you could do is bring the employee handbook
yeah.
right.
and see if there is a definition of
right.
what a sick day is mm-hmm. and is it allow an employee to use their sick time for family illnesses.
Right. And then Adam could bring the policy if in fact the chief has written a policy, then Adam could get that, and if the fire commissioners have reviewed and approved that, then we could look at what that says.
Yeah.
And the other question is this something that should go before the taxpayers? Well, how this village would be adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing the policy, the federal policy, because each employer can exercise it with their own
I'm trying to imagine
intentions in mind.
Someone who's a summer resident, let's say. So I don't think they would care. 2,600 of us that live here, or whatever it is year round. I mean, sure, I think they all want to know that we're, generally speaking, abiding by the law.
Right. What if they found out what it would cost, what additional cost it would be if people were allowed to do this, whatever? That there would be the additional cost, what would the additional cost be to the taxpayers if we had a broad enough policy where there were a lot of loopholes that, that employees could drive a truck through if they wanted to.
You have a dim view of the employees of the town.
It's what?
You have a dim view of the employees of the town.
Not at all. I have.
Well, we have a realistic view of the employees of the town, and we already.
And maybe I'm just.
We already know we've had a few of them that have taken 96 days in a whack.
Right.
So here's what I think. I think generally speaking, people want to know that their village functions. Of course they do. I think they want to know that Tom and the crew are taking care of the water. And they if they're really interested, they go to the meetings. They want to understand.
Well, we all know where I come on this thing. That, and I don't know if you know the history. We have had firefighters earn sick time that they didn't deserve to earn, and then take that sick time and get paid for it that they didn't deserve to get paid for. And that is why I hold this dear and close to my heart. It took me 5 years to get that.
Here's the interesting thing about policies, or laws even. People don't abide by them. So this was a situation where someone obviously flaunted authority and the law and ruined people's sense of security that people in charge of the fire department are doing the right thing. I get that. Yeah. I get that. So,
but the only way to hope that they aren't doing it intentionally is to make sure you have policies for them to follow. That's the way I look at it. I don't want to think that the person did it intentionally. I want to think they did it because they had lack of knowledge, because they didn't have policy.
I am not at all pushing back on having policies. It's not logical to expect that just because there's a presence of a policy that nothing bad's going to happen.
No, but at least then, if there's a policy, they can't say they didn't know about the policy. I don't know. I just don't want to.
I didn't know I couldn't drive drunk, officer. People say shit all the time.
But hopefully not the people that are our.
Sorry, Chris. You're going to have to transcribe. You can bleep that out. Lisa, I know you didn't write that down.
And here's an issue that the public was intensely surprised by: the cost of health benefits for elected officials. So
absolutely.
I said, should this go before the taxpayers, and people said, no.
Well,
finally, when the actual cost of benefits for elected officials went before the taxpayers, they looked at the sheet and they said, oh my God, I had no idea that this cost us $100,000 a year.
That's a great example of exactly place where you go, you scratch your head and you go, wow, that's amazing.
And so you say, oh no, all the taxpayers want to know we're doing a great job. Blown away the night that a summary of what we had spent, what the district had spent for those benefits, I could see people saying, are you kidding me? Oh my God. Oh, I had no idea.
So I remember
that night like it was yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing against it. I think that if we're going to be interested in getting news out, then we have to do it through the mechanisms that we have, the website.
Right.
There is no section on the website that I'm aware of that relates to the policy advisory committee. In the bylaws, I don't think anyone in the bylaws said you shall publicize stuff. I think we should. There's also the civic commission meetings, the civic association meetings every month. Someone can take it upon themselves to volunteer. I know you're not going to, and go there and do stuff. But anything that we do, I think people are going to want to know. People should have the choice to know about it, to read about it.
Well, they used to come to these meetings, and there used to be people in the audience. There used to be a lot of people in the audience.
People don't care anymore.
So, it sounds like
plates are full.
It sounds like we should at least have get something done tonight. So it sounds like we want to initiate some kind of process to come up with
review of the current policy advisory.
About sick.
I mean, the review of the current sick leave.
Yeah.
Right.
seems like the...
I think you should look at union employees.
I think so too, as well, because I don't think there is a discussion.
If you're going to look at non-union, and we're all talking about the same village, maybe we look at the union as our guide.
That's right, because, abusive sick leave costs us money. It costs us money because we're paying time and a half to the people that are often, time and a half to the people that are replacing the people that are out on unauthorized or not, you know, not approved sick leave, and so what it could potentially cost us.
So I would say that it absolutely should be, from my perspective, our community, fire. We need to have a policy about this initiative predates this meeting, about how, in this specifically, Family Medical Leave Act is managed within the firehouse. That's a policy. But we can't create a policy that does anything. You can't supersede the contract.
But we can look to see if it's even identified. We're not suing anything. We're advising that maybe it gets looked at next time, or does the contract even broach the subject? It might not even broach it. Well, I read it, and there's no definition of what a sick day is.
So if there is a recommendation of promulgating some kind of definition into the public about what a sick day is for firefighters, okay, we'll take that as another thing under advisement for the fire commissioner. I don't think you guys have that. I mean, you could define like you say, the employee handbook is probably...
The employee handbook, if I had a copy with me, I can tell you what it says. And I'm sure it says something about it.
Right, because the average taxpayer would be very willing...
Well, because the average person... Can you use your sick days for whatever you... Do you get sick days? I don't know. I just know... You have unlimited paid sick days? Okay.
Yes. If I'm not well, I don't go to work. Otherwise, I go to work.
Okay. Most nurses, they get pretty good sick days benefits, but they only can use them for themselves. Like, if I have a sick kid, I can't use my sick day to stay home and take care of my sick kid. Or a sick parent. I'm not allowed to do that.
Both. I have sick days for myself. I have family sick days.
Right.
That I accrue. And it's not sick days. It's sick hours that I accrue by working.
Right, so you have a definition of what they are.
But it's
that's all that you need to look at, see if we have a... Yeah.
Right, and the average employee thinks that their sick days are a benefit, that if they don't use it, that, you know, that they're not getting what they get. Don't you think that's true?
No.
All right, Cindy doesn't think that's true.
The average employee?
I don't think the average employee.
I think there are employees that think
that. Exactly, but I don't
think
the average.
And they use them so they don't lose them.
Right.
You know.
I've had previous jobs where they were bought back.
Yeah.
Right.
Perch back. They accrue. I can donate them to a sick bank, so that if somebody else gets sick, they can tap into that if they're legitimately sick.
Absolutely.
Right.
My husband was a teacher, and he was sick for 9 months. And he used all of his sick days, and I think his fellow teachers contributed sick days from a sick bank for the rest of his 9 months. Right? I think that happened.
Yeah. I was once a member of the union when I was younger, carpenter, you know, building stuff. And I was never sick. I think at the end of that period of time, I'd accrued a bunch of sick days, and I had just saved up money to go back to college. I said, I'm going back to college. I didn't give a crap's ass about the sick days. But I'm me, and I'm very different.
I say that the other day. I never was sick in the 25 years I had sick days. Now that I don't have sick days, this is the year I get sick.
Right. And I've said to Cindy before, you know, because both of us are nurses, I said in the 15 years that I worked as a nurse, I'll be surprised if I used 5 sick days out of that whole 15 years. So if I had them, and lost them if I didn't take them. I just never took them because I thought somebody's not going to have a nurse that night.
Yeah. So, there's my experience is just very different than yours. I've never worked in public settings.
I just think we need to clarify what those sick days are. Like you said, you have a clarification at your job. I just think they need to clarify.
Particularly if we're actually going to expand the concept
once we do that, once we define a sick day, then we also look at what is the village willing to consider in terms of expanding the definition of family medical leave to include other benefits besides unpaid.
Right.
We know what the other districts do with respect to that.
Well, I know what Calm does. Calm does anytime you go out on an illness that's going to be extended, like let's say you're going to have your wisdom teeth out or whatever, they mandate you to go out on family sick leave because they want you to use your time. And you have to use your vacation time first because they want to get that liability off the books because that's what a business is supposed to do. You're supposed to protect your liability. And I think that's something we here as a district, because we're so small, haven't looked at, but we're growing. And we need to start realizing we have to start looking at our liabilities and what, you know, employees are keeping and what we're, you know, supposed to. So anytime, you know, you're going to go out, you start your family medical leave, and then they make you start using your vacation so that you can't be out for 6 months and then come back and take your 5 weeks vacation.
Well, I'll reread the contract about that and see what my interpretation is. I'm happy also to contribute whatever needs to be contributed to this project from the employees that I touch in terms of the circles of work that I do. You probably go back to Vic and say, okay, let's contribute our employee handbook or job descriptions and things like that. Prudential should probably do the same. Presumably, you can, that you speak for the library folks and as well.
No, the library isn't part of the village.
Does this policy committee want to talk about them?
No, they're part of the town. They're
okay. Yeah. So just the village of Kootenai.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the village of Kootenai.
Right.
So do we want to have a list of people that we're talking about too?
Well, it'd be anybody that we pay. So it would be like I said, the Prudential Committee has 3 full-time employees. The water department has 6?
5?
5. Okay. 3 guys, Chris and Jennifer,
Jen,
right?
So yep. 5. And then the fire department has the chief.
The chief and Chris.
Chris, and then the union firefighters.
Okay. And they're a special case, though. Right. But we'll include them.
Yeah. A question for Cindy. Call firefighters?
We don't have it.
We don't have it anymore.
We don't have any anymore?
No.
No calls. Okay, good. Now I know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was actually.
But they never got sick time anyway, so it didn't matter.
Right.
What if they were injured?
That's not family medical leave.
That's not family medical leave. Okay.
You know, family medical leave is only for full-time employees.
Only for full-time. Okay, fine. Great.
Are there any other policies?
Well, like I said, I'd like a policy that says that these subcommittees, bylaw, and should meet within the first quarter of the year just so that there's a guideline for anybody coming up. I mean, I don't think that's much to ask that we'd have that at least one meeting to decide what we want to do.
Well,
we could make a policy to the bylaw to make, yeah. So if you want to put that, I don't even think they've had a bylaw meeting yet.
We have, not that I know of. So that's the committee I'm on.
Right, there hasn't been one.
And are you really?
So I'd like to, so I would like us to push forward that bylaw. Like,
everyone step back.
Can I tell you when you get there? Just
tell
them.
Yeah, and I'm not kidding you. It was put forward a couple of years ago.
But I think we need to, you know, be put forward.
So are we going to recommend to the bylaw committee that there's a change to the bylaw to stipulate that this committee meet for in the first quarter of the year?
For the first quarter of the fiscal year,
Our recommendation could be to Prudential that if the bylaw committee doesn't bring that forward as a suggested bylaw, that the Prudential committee could do that.
Could consider that.
Could consider that themselves. Right. You know, because the Prudential Committee approves the recommendations that come from the Bylaw Committee or could add their own suggested changes.
Do
what?
Do we need a motion for any of these things?
Well, if we're going to just...
We'll just put it as part of our
recommendations, because we're not really... We don't make any policies.
No, I know, but we have to.
We just come up with a.
We have to have a motion about.
No, I don't know that we even have motions.
No, I don't think we have motions. We don't have votes, unless we want to vote to look at something.
It's a work committee, it's a study committee, and it's a work committee of people suggesting things, and someone writes them down, and then when we go to make a report to the prudential committee, I think we say, so what do you think? This is what we've discussed.
Isn't that a report, yeah.
Right.
That's the finished product.
That's the finished product.
Of last year.
Right.
Okay, and sounds like, that sounds like.
Well, two things we're doing right now. So, sick leave policy, obviously.
Yeah.
Bylaw amendment.
Right.
With respect to how often, I guess it's probably part of the bylaw, maybe also.
Right.
And I don't mean, it doesn't have to say how often, just so it gets the ball rolling. They have their first meeting, if the group gets together and says, we don't have anything we want to discuss, they met their one meeting.
Right.
They move on.
Right.
If they come up with a couple of things, then they have some time to work them out.
They have some time to work on it.
Before they have to put their report to the prudential committee.
Exactly. And Tom said that he would like to explore whether there is a need to reinstate the position of assistant superintendent. And I don't know that that's. I don't know that that's something that we would need to address before the annual meeting.
Yeah.
But it might be a great discussion point for next year's policy advisory committee.
And that's not really quite what I said.
Okay.
And if it was, maybe it was, but
okay.
I think what I meant was, do we have adequate positions to maintain the fire and water districts on a sustainable basis?
Well, isn't that what the study's going to look at?
It's going to look at.
Because I think that was one of the questions that we put forward.
I don't know that it's going to look at positions.
No.
It's not.
But it is
going to look at do we have adequate funds coming in to cover our costs.
Right.
So cost of service.
Exactly.
And it's going to look at the infrastructure and projections of costs for the future.
So
to maintain the infrastructure,
so
but it doesn't look
to maintain the infrastructure,
positions.
Wouldn't that
maybe it does. Maybe it would.
It would
end
look
up
at because you have
that,
to.
But I don't know that it is.
You can't maintain an infrastructure if you don't have people to maintain it. So I would think that they would look at that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they'll get there. They might. That wasn't one of the deliverable objectives in
it
the
wasn't.
Final.
It wasn't
RPs.
Personnel.
But you know, like you say, maybe it gets worked in.
I think it must, because
but that's something.
But that's what we could ask.
But that's just it wasn't just for the superintendent. That was an example, but and that's one that's very near and dear to the water department, because we love Chris and we hope that he does well from now till forever. But in the chance that something were to happen to him, he needs Family Medical Leave Act, right?
There's nobody.
We don't have anybody that can step in. That knows the system like he knows the system.
Right. No business should ever run that way.
No. We need a contingency plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
To maintain consistency.
Was that part of your budget proposals to the Prudential Committee the other night?
No, it was not. We did not add a position because we were trying to bring,
There's some politics there, too, because they have a senior operator, but I guess.
I know
we have a senior operator.
And that senior operator should be able to step in, but I guess it just isn't the right person for the right position.
Been there a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And perhaps he could do it in a pinch. I would like to think that he could.
Yeah. Well, you brought up an interesting point. Should every business or every department, should they always have an assistant to the boss, whether they need one or not?
Most
and
do.
And at what cost?
Right. Every business has someone that should be able to step in.
Yeah.
Right. At what cost?
Yeah.
Does every fire department need a deputy chief? Does every
Well, no, but you have somebody in the ranks that can step up. Like when our chief is out, the most senior man stepped up.
And is acting something.
Right. So like in the water department, maybe it doesn't have to be an assistant superintendent, but the role of that senior operator, that's in his job description.
Right.
Yeah. And do you add a 70,000-dollar position just for a contingency? That's the other question.
And if we added that position, could we get rid of another position?
Right.
Right.
Right. Because most of the time,
yeah.
you don't need it.
Right.
Right.
And if money were no object, you would do that. But So you're weighing a 2,000 village resident water department and how many full-time positions does it take to run a
to run that, right.
That's right. Okay. Yep. And not compare ourselves to the town of Dennis. You know, if we've got 2,000 residents and the town of Dennis has 100,000 residents, to not be, you know, comparing ourselves to them. Because Dennis was brought up as part of the rate survey.
All of the surrounding towns were, because they all have wellheads.
Right.
And the wellheads need maintenance.
Right. No, I know.
And they have more wellheads than we have. Yeah. But they all need service.
Right. No.
So we have 2, they have 10.
No.
Right?
Yeah. I understand.
That's why you have these meetings, so you can discuss, yeah. Like you said.
Yeah, but so that's what, you know.
Yeah,
in terms
but
of
I would have. I just assumed when we decided to do that rate study that they'd have to look at, because you can't have a water department without employees.
Right.
No, but the primary reason that was put forward was that the treasurer wanted the water department to cover more of their capital expenditure costs. And a lot of their costs of operations. So that was what the treasurer thought, because the water department had big capital improvement budget,
yep.
And a $500,000 overhead of operation.
And I think COMM covers their operations and maintenance with their costs.
They do.
That was not an
overwhelmingly
off the popular
record, this is all I have to say.
Change,
if
but
we
that,
start
they
comparing ourselves to CO, Center for Austinville Marston's Mills, and we start, all we're going to do is open up the door for consolidation, which we do not.
I know. But if you had consolidation, would you need an assistant superintendent?
Of course not.
We wouldn't
need half the employees we have.
We wouldn't need a deputy chief. We wouldn't, you know.
We wouldn't need a fire chief.
We're not.
So,
but then again, we wouldn't have the services. No, we don't. Most of the residents of Kootenai, because we've talked about that, and it's been a hot topic. Don't. Yeah, we don't want that.
We don't want it.
We don't want it. So you.
Yeah. But.
No.
But do you want to, you know?
So you got to keep it. You know, you don't want to open the doors.
Right.
For the other
because the, you know, the water department might be a $500,000 operations, but the fire department's a $2 million. You know, that's a $2 million for 2,000 residents. Okay, so and you took notes, and
yeah,
I took notes.
So it appears that we're 8 to the good here, only 2 recommendations.
Oh, we only have another month and a half.
3? Oh, 2.5. I think I keep hearing there's something that I need to do, that we need to do with the fire. I don't know if you need to write that down specifically, because I get it. No, we will do that. But the sick leave has a corollary to it, of including how we manage FMLA laws as it relates to firefighters. Again, FMLA is all about just not losing your job.
Right.
That's right.
It's very clear that it's unpaid.
Yeah.
I know.
And we can't, you know, if we want to, as a village, make it paid, which we just did, that's okay if that's what we decide to do, but it has to be a decision.
Well, the only way a firefighter could be paid for Family Medical Leave Act leave is to consume his or her vacation and sick time that they might have accumulated.
Right, but which are we going to as a...
Right.
Like I said, most places, we make them use their vacation first, because that's something that we have as a liability every year.
And I believe that's what we're doing, but as I hear that we want to have that spelled out, no, you can't shake your head. That's not fair.
I know.
That's my belief.
I know what you believe.
And I will take it back and say to Chief, okay, let's make sure we write this down and bring it to the next meeting. That's the best way for us to contribute to transparency, is to bring it to a meeting and state it so that it goes in the record, then it goes on the website, and I understand that not a lot of people visit the website. You should see the tracking is 15 people a day or something. But
probably 15.
Yeah, and they're all sending. They're all sending
live. I'm
But yeah, so I take it very seriously that this SIC policy has a particular implication for firefighters that we need to, whether it comes in conjunction with a district-wide SIC leave policy for non-union people, I take it as that we need to accelerate that. That's what I've heard tonight. And then there's the, what was the third one? The
adequate positions to sustain
the
district's infrastructure and operations.
I think it's it'd be tough. You can't even get people to the right pay grades, you know, at Redwater. So
we're working on it.
Yeah.
Well, I think they have to really look at that senior operator, and that's something that they have to do inside
right.
and decide.
The senior operator is making more than the pay grade, right?
Yes.
Well, no,
and yet couldn't function as an assistant superintendent. Is that that was the question?
So that's
that's
management
pay grade as we wrote it and it was passed. At our last meeting.
Yeah, but right. there are many corporations that when that right. happens, I gave the story to Jen the other day. I said, we had a problem at Cape Cod Hospital, and we weren't going to be able to balance the budget with the union raises that were granted. So how did we make the budget that year? All management, which I was part of, took a 17% pay cut so that our union employees could get their raises. That happens in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The
certainly does.
There was a time when the unions came to fore that was very different than the world we live in now. I get that.
I say that every day. I say that every day. I do. That there was a time when we needed it. And,
oh yeah.
And
all right.
We can't change the world, so let's make it. Well, we got to make a meeting. When do you want to meet again? I know, I'm just thinking that. I don't know what your lives are. I know you're all busy. And you're not like me, semi-retired.
Yeah.
So
and
we'll never see Tom again.
Unless Vic calls and says, hey, I'm sick again. Or he's out of town or something, which happens. You know, and I'll come. I'm here most of the time. So.
Are Wednesdays generally good for people?
Depends on what Wednesday.
But generally, Wednesday, Thursdays always are bad for me.
Okay. And Wednesdays are water.
Wednesdays are water, and Vic is retired or partially retired, so
right.
he's probably available most Wednesdays.
Next Wednesday, if we wanted to just come together real quick to see if you could bring your handbook and if you could look.
I will not be.
Okay, then
be
let's. What's the follow? Okay, what's the follow? Okay, what's the following Wednesday?
The following Wednesday is a water commission.
The following Wednesday is
so how about the first Wednesday of April?
These are great excuses. I'm going to write these down.
Was there another day of the week that was at all? Not Tuesdays.
Tuesdays are fine, too, although that's fire. The second Tuesday of every month is the fire commission.
Yeah, so that would be next Tuesday would be fire.
What about Tuesday?
In 2 weeks, in Tuesday?
And actually, I can't be here.
Say the last part?
I can't be here next week because I'm...
But are you here the following week?
I'll be here the following week.
And that's the day before the Water Commission meeting.
It is. And so,
that's
good for you or good for Vic?
I don't know if Vic will be around.
Well, then
but I can't, you know, I can't
we would be honored
say
to
that he won't.
We would be honored to have
him. Are we talking the 20th or the 21st?
That's what I was thinking,
the 20th or the 21st?
20th is a
Tuesday.
If we do the 20th, can by any chance we do it at 7 o'clock, or is that too late?
On the 20th, I can do that.
Is that too late, do you?
No, I'm good. I'll just cancel something else, but it can be canceled.
So
7 p.m.
Tuesday nights is my
grandson's
hockey night.
Say what?
It's hockey night.
It's hockey night.
Oh, well, I think that...
So you watched the game last night? No, you went to the girls' game.
I went to the girls' game.
Right. That's, okay.
The priorities of my life.
I've got that here. And
this is all.
And could we send notices to Vic? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll send an email to everybody.
Send them to Jen, and Jen can get it to Vic, because he didn't know about this meeting until earlier today.
I will email.
And Don has Nisa.
As long as I know it's Vic, I will email you all personal, and I will ask for you to respond so I know you got the email.
Okay, and you got everybody else.
And got it.
So are they working?
I don't know.
Do you mind if I use your work one?
That's fine.
I don't usually like to do that, but
yeah.
I knew it wasn't working, so.
Yeah, just because Chris just said they weren't doing them tonight, and so we have to do something. We need to log in or something. We need to do something.
Okay, well, yeah. I have everybody's personal email except Vic's, but I can call him and get that.
Okay.
Or ask him which one he wants me to use.
Yeah.
I have no.
So we're talking about 7 o'clock on the 20th.
On the 20th, yeah.
For the hopes of coming back together.
Right.
With some information regarding our respective cities and their city leaders.
Right.
Right. And that's really what we're looking
at. Yeah.
Our initial.
Yeah. So, you know, are there any policies in place or any definition of what city leaders covers?
That's March 20th. It's
20th, yeah. Yeah, at March 20th comes, yeah. Okay, we're good. No, the end of the week. I'm going in the middle of the night. I have to fly out at 5 a.m.
All right, are we all good? I make a motion that the Policy Advisory Committee for Kituit Fire District adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.